I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Well, it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about whatever's in the news and whatever's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer and reporter Jimmy Israel, editor and civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, media executive Nick Charles, and syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete. I may jump in once or twice, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing out there?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Doing good, man. Doing great.
Ho, ho, ho. Well, it's 'tis the season for Christmas time political ads. Ruben, what do we think of them?
We're so keyed into the debates that even when somebody comes forward, like Mike Huckabee did with a commercial recently where he says, hey, you know what? Let's just take a break from politics and talk about the Christmas spirit. Well, inevitably, we end up sort of dragging that into politics, too. And suddenly people are dissecting this guy's television commercial and saying, now, was that really a cross you see behind him? Was it a bookcase or a cross?
Right.
Is this like a subliminal message? You know, be Christian, be Christian, be Christian. Who knows what goes in the minds of these political observers who I think have spent too much time in Iowa and they just need to get out more and and just take a break from this stuff for a couple of days. They'll be there when you come back.
Guys, do you want to hear it? Because I can't help you sort out the subliminal message of the visual, but I can at least let you hear the ad. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, here it is.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Are you about worn out of all the television commercials you've been seeing? Mostly about politics. I don't blame you. At this time of year, sometimes it's nice to pull aside from all of that and just remember that what really matters is the celebration of the birth of Christ and being with our family and our friends. I hope that you and your family will have a magnificent Christmas season. And on behalf of all of us, God bless and Merry Christmas. I'm Mike Huckabee, and I approve this message.
I think I'm going to cry.
It's good. I think it's good. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm going to throw up.
Wait a second. Yeah. Am I the only one? I saw the cross in the background, and I don't think it was an accident. Arsalan, am I the only one that thinks that this was planted there by the producers?
I saw the ad also, and I saw the cross, and I think it was benign. I think it was, you know, not in the run-up to the January 3rd Iowa caucus, I think that, you know, these last Christmas spots are sort of the last vestige of political life in Iowa. And I agree with Ruben. I think it's time to move on and, you know, just take it for what it is at face value.
What troubled me was that there wasn't any acknowledgement from any of the candidates in any of the spots I've seen of any other belief systems besides Christianity. I thought Huckabee's, you know, Christian appeal was a little over the top. Nick?
I'm about to throw up. I don't understand. Everything is calculated by these people.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this season of crass commercialism where we basically exploit Christianity, he's not doing anything any different. You know, my fact of the matter is if you want to say Merry Christmas, say it to your friends and your family and people you meet on the campaign trail. You don't have to put a commercial out about it with nice little music in the background and a cross that was not a bookcase and talking about the birth of Christ. As you said, no other belief system. So if I'm a Muslim or Jew or an atheist, what am I supposed to think? Well, it's not, you're not talking to me.
Right.
They're supposed to think it's Christmas. It's Christmas. That's what you do on Christmas. You talk, what the holiday's about.
Right. Well, and I also think that Huckabee, you know, being a Southern Baptist minister and the fact that, you know, Christmas has become a commercialized holiday in America, I think he was, you know, reaching out to the, you know, spiritual aspect of it trying to reach those voters, especially in Iowa, you know, that might share that same worldview.
Obama has one. You want to hear it, guys? Obama
Absolutely.
Let's play it.
We'd like to take a moment to thank you and your family for the warmth and friendship that you've shown ours, for sharing your hospitality and your stories.
In this holiday season, we're reminded that the things that unite us as a people are more powerful and enduring than anything that sets us apart. And we all have a stake in each other and something larger than ourselves. So from our family to yours, I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Personally,
Personally,
I would have liked to see Obama redeem himself from Ellen, and I want to see him and his family doing the electric slide or something like that. Now,
It's a Wonderful Life? God. With the kids crying in the back, and kids going,
Ruben, help me out here. I'm looking at it like...
Yeah, no, we got a bunch of haters today.
help me out here. I'm looking at it like these candidates are trying to ride the wave of, you know, warm feelings and, you know, goodwill towards men. Yeah. And I don't know if it's worth it or not.
There's way too much of that in politics, isn't there? Goodwill toward men and warm
feelings. Jimmy's like, they're trying to make us feel good.
Stuff,
duh. You know?
Well, after Christmas ahead, on December 26th, we can all throw mud again. Okay, it'll all be there again. It'll all be there just like we left it. But there's nothing wrong. I don't fault Obama for this commercial. I don't fault Huckabee for his commercial. It's the same thing. It's fine, you know, and it's just a nice sort of break from the action.
Right.
And I think I'm glad you played the Obama clip because Obama, remember, said famously at the Democratic Convention in 2004, even folks in the blue state worship an awesome God. This is an attempt by Democrats to reclaim that vote and say, hey, wait a minute. Don't just go Republican. We have something to say to you, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also think that it speaks to a greater cross-section of America than Huckabee's does, obviously. And I think that that's something that is part of Barack's, you know, broad appeal. And, of course, I'm not saying that because I'm sitting in my hometown.
Because
Arsalan would happen to be in Chicago. Just what I mentioned.
You know, while it was much more subtle and much more expansive than Huckabee's, it was just as calculating. Yes, bah humbug.
Oh, well, you know, after the, you know, the holiday season's over, we can go back to normal, all the mudslinging and everything else. Now, all right, well, check this out. I don't know, I'm sure everybody by now has heard this, but five members of the Atlanta Falcons were fined for showing support for former Falcon Michael Vick as he starts his 23-month sentence for his role in a dogfighting ring. In the meantime, PETA has a mean-spirited e-carter on their site featuring Vick playing football by himself in jail. We got audio for that?
Well, you all know I'm conflicted out of any Michael Vick conversation because my husband represented him. But we do have the audio of that e-card if you'd like to hear it. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, here
sure.
it is. Yeah.
Drop it.
Ooh, that's going to sting in the morning. They got to the quarterback's blind side there. He never had a chance. Ooh, that's going to sting in the morning. They got to the quarterback's blind side there. He never had a chance.
And for the people at home, to give them a visual, it's a little picture of a cartoon effigy of Michael Vick kicking the ball up and down, and the ball falls on his head. And, you know, the jailhouse guards, of course, have vicious dogs, and he's sitting there on by his lonesome playing football.
Right.
Well, okay.
Man. Oh, jeez.
Now, Nick, with this conviction, you know, do you think any grave injustice was done here?
I don't think it's a matter of a grave injustice. The guy's in jail already. My thing about it just shows how mean-spirited PETA really is.
Yeah.
I think we should start an organization called PETH, P-E-T-H, People for the Ethical Treatment of Humans, because these people are going overboard sometimes. And they're using his likeness to sell an e-card because it's not for free. And what else can they gain? They've got a maximum sentence. Everybody thought it would be 12 months to 15. It was 23.
Yeah.
He's in orange. Yeah. All the goodwill they built up in the beginning, you know, going railing against us as they should have, is dissipated, is going away.
So do you think the teammates should have been fined for showing their support? I think they were fined $10,000.
Yeah,
$10,000. One was fined $7,000 just for helping out, just for being in proximity of another raised his free Vic t-shirt.
You know, this Ruben coming in, I think this is a different story. I think those folks have a right to free speech like anybody else. When I read that story, I thought it was really petty to use that word that we used with PETA of the NFL to say to these players that basically you're being punished because you're defiant, because the NFL told you not to do this, and you did it anyway.
Well, Ruben, looking at it from another perspective, I see completely what you're talking about, you know, being a First Amendment freak myself. But, I mean, we have to look at it that they were paying tribute to someone who pled guilty to committing criminal felonies. And so, in my opinion, what they were trying to do was sending in a message that we're not going to, you know, tolerate people endorsing, you know, criminal activity. And I
think
sort of...
They were doing public relations.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the PETA e-card goes, I completely agree with Nick. I mean, they might as well have played, you know, Who Let the Dogs Out. I mean, it was just, I think it was in bad form and in bad taste to, you know, to try and, you know, salvage some sort of fundraising effort, you know.
Go ahead, Nick.
I think that, you know, those five guys got fined because they were at a game, and as well, they shouldn't be doing supporting for him at a game. If they want to put a big banner on their house at home or on their car, fine, go ahead.
Yeah.
But at the game, it is a PR thing because they don't want anybody supporting a felon. And if that's one of the things that the NFL is looking for, that's fine. But, you know, players want to support someone who's in prison, they can do that on their own time.
You know what? Right. I find myself wondering, Ruben, did you have something to add?
I was going to say that when professional sports in general decide to get tough on steroid users, then I'll believe them when they go after felons and showing sympathy for felons and enabling felons. I think this was about public relations in another way, the sense that the NFL saw this literally as a black eye, okay, literally as a black eye, and they want to get as far away from the Michael Vick story as possible, and that's why they decided to take it out on these players.
All right, well, you know, in the spirit of the season, hopefully PETA will find themselves forgiving Michael Vick. I mean, he is paying his debt to society, and I don't know. I mean, personally, when you talk about dogs and you're hurting dogs, I don't know, but we all can find some forgiveness in our heart this season. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about other holiday-type celebrations. Some African-Americans are opting out of Christmas celebrations in favor of Kwanzaa. Has anybody here besides me been to any kind of Kwanzaa celebration?
I went to one a long, long time ago.
Tell us about it.
And, well, it's, you know, it's the first fruits of harvest, and they have the seven principles, et cetera. It happens on the Boxing Day, 26th through the first of the year. My thing about this is it was founded by a guy called Ron Karenga, who's now with Malenga Karenga. And to me, it's a very made-up holiday in the true nature of disclosure. I have exploited it for advertising purposes when I worked at other places. But in the true spirit of the season and continuing in my bar humbug ways, I don't even know why it even exists.
Well, I mean, but aren't all holidays made up? I mean, come on, that's not a good reason to diss Kwanzaa. I mean, all holidays are made up. All holidays are amalgams of pagan holidays and Christian rituals. And, you know, there is no Santa Claus, for those of you that
hey,
didn't know. I'm sorry.
Little ears might be listening. Hey.
That's right.
Well, well, Jimmy, what do you think?
Well, you know what? I've had Kwanzaa celebrations in my house, and the very first one I went to was kind of a bougie affair, and I wasn't down with it. I wasn't down with it at all.
Imagine that.
You know, I wasn't down with it at all. But you know, the one I had in my home for my kids, what I found out is that they got a lot out of it. They really got a lot out of the seven principles and the rituals every night, where we talked about the principles and how we live them in our lives every day. And the kids get more out of it than the adults, because I think you're right. I think a lot of adults approach it like Nick does, like, oh, this is a made-up holiday and this, that, and the third. You know, but I look at it as starting a new tradition. I don't know.
Can I ask the guys? Well, Nick, go ahead. I did want to ask the other guys, do you feel, Ruben and Arsalan, do you guys feel excluded by Kwanzaa?
No, not at all.
No, any more than I feel excluded by St. Patrick's Day. I mean, and most ethnic holidays, it's just, it's all good. Everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, St. Patrick's Day has become kind of like secularized, if you want to call it that. Like, I remember when I covered the Maryland State Legislature, the legislators who were not Irish would compete to be the funniest. Like, for example, one state senator who was Jewish had buttons he gave out called St. Patrick's Eats Bagels. And then some of the other lawmakers who were African-American had something, you know, similarly funny, or like they had like red, black and green St. Patrick's Day buttons or something. Like, you know, they just had fun with it, but it had been kind of crossed over into kind of an American holiday. I don't know. I was just wondering. Well, local moms talk about it. I wanted to ask you guys.
Yeah, on St. Patrick's Day parades here in New York, you see black folks wearing black Irish T-shirts. So yeah.
Who? Really?
Really.
That's deep, bro. That's deep.
Deep, exactly.
I have one.
Wow. You see?
Jimmy's just left out. Well, Nick, what do you think? Is it just because you just think it's made up and artificial, or you just think that there's something negative about it?
I don't think it's negative, but it's made up artificial. You know, Christmas is overblown. Hanukkah is overblown. Hanukkah used to be the nice little children's holiday. Now it's become this huge thing. And Kwanzaa is the same thing, where you can sell nice Kinder Card cards. And the commercialism that's attached to all this stuff is what I'm really rail against. Not so much the idea, the essence of it, you know. But Kwanzaa's only been around since 1968, and, you know, it'll grow in stature maybe. But every poll that I've seen, and we took some last year when I was at the AOL, shows that less and less black folks celebrate.
But that's your choice, isn't it? I mean, not you individually, but that is one individual family choice. I mean, you could turn Martin Luther King Day into a commercial event if you choose to. Some people Kwanzaa as an opportunity to explore African-American culture.
Well, I think the fact of the matter is we have sales every time there's any holiday, including MLK Day, is that they have been blown into commercial, these commercial circuses. And yes, if it was very quietly, you know, at home with your family, just telling your kids about, you know, peace and love and hard work and stuff, that'd be fine. And then MLK, tell them about, you know, peace and love to your brother, man, that's great. But most people, I don't think, do that.
Hmm. Well, you know what? I think Nick celebrates Festivus, you know, but for the rest of us, ho, 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 happy holidays.
Wait, can I just say, I'm glad that we didn't commercialize Cinco de Mayo. Be right.
Oh, yeah, right.
And gentlemen,
two
that's
for one
a wrap.
Margaritas.
Thanks so much for coming into the shop. I got to kick it back to the lady of the house, Michelle Martin.
That's right. Well, happy holidays to all of you. It's
happy
great
holidays.
Great to have celebrated this year with you, and happy new year and all
Feliz
that good
Navidad.
Stuff. Right. Yeah, thank you. I mean, go
Prospero
get down
año.
With it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Israel joined us from WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida, where he is a freelance writer and reporter. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us from KPBS in San Diego. Arsalan Iftikhar is a contributing editor for Islamica magazine. He joined us from our bureau in Chicago. And Nick Charles is the vice president of digital content at BET.com. He joined us from our bureau in New York. You can find links to all of our barbershop guests at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today, and happy holidays.
Thank you, Michelle. Happy holidays.
Yep, yep.